I do mourn over this. I walk howling, barefoot and naked. I fit a lamentation for the great jackal, or a lamentation for the daughter of the owl. That's Micah chapter 1, verse 8. Our daily scripture from the Ward Green translation of 2003, Little Children. And we are returning now to our study of the article. The Ark of Urartu. The Orient Express, we're in part two of that article. The article is called, in full, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express. And we're in chapter 12, which is contained in part two of that article. And this is today, paragraph 9. I've read this a couple of days ago, but I haven't prepared this today, so it's going to be interesting to read it without having prepared it. Now, here it is as we begin to read chapter 12, paragraph 9. Only when we are open-minded may we assess truthfulness to choose between the truth or falsehood of particular views. However, there is a difference between open-mindedness and empty-headedness, or what we call the scientific method. Before we repented and came to be, quote, children of the light, end quote, the scientific method has now become, in quotes, tasting and seeing, end quote. As imperfect humans, we don't know that, quote, Jehovah is good, end quote. It is not to put him to the test, but to remind ourselves. Imagination needs no bounds other than those of the truth. Jehovah limits the sea and created different animal kinds. He said, let the waters swarm forth a swarm of live souls, and let flying creatures fly over the earth upon heaven. The stupidity of man in forming a carved image for worship is in contrast to the life or soul of the living creation. As men thus obsessed deprive themselves of food and water. Let me adjust the width of this. Just realized I haven't done it yet. And I didn't start my app that normally runs in the background yet. Okay. Here we are. It reminds us in Micah 1 and 8, where it says, I will walk barefoot and naked, in the New World Translation from 1984, reminds me, anyway, it reminds, I think, anyone who reads it, of the part of the book of Isaiah where Isaiah walked barefoot and naked for 3 days, or 3 years, actually. Let's look for that. Just to digress momentarily here, barefoot and naked. Yeah, it was Isaiah 20. Isaiah, my servant Isaiah, Jehovah says, has walked about naked and barefoot 3 years as a sign and portent against Egypt and against Ethiopia. And this helped us to do our dating of the time when during the reign of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, we were trying to date that. And this was a help to us, the 3 years mentioned here, as I recall. But I'm not prepared to study that today, so, or to review that. So let's jump back into our paragraph again. So let's reread the last sentence. The stupidity of man in forming a carved image for worship, in other words, carving, you know, an idol god, is in contrast to the life or soul of the living creation, as men thus obsessed deprive themselves of food and water, meaning that a person who's obsessed with creating a statue or an idol, particularly something they're going to worship, as a carving of something that's lifelike, you know, they're trying to carve something, that to them is an image of worship, even if it's not like anything that we see on earth. But they get so obsessed with it that they actually forget to eat and they forget to drink water, right? So they get dehydrated. That's the idea. And there's a scripture that talks about that. That's in Isaiah 2, isn't it? I think it is. Isaiah 44 and 12. The blacksmith takes a tool, New International Version, and works with it in the coals. And then it continues at the end. It says he drinks no water and grows faint. And also it says he gets hungry and loses his strength too. So forgets to eat and drink. That's basically the same. In the other translations that we see there too. So all translations basically say the same thing in most cases in the Bible. We don't have to worry about that. But you should check it out if you have any doubts about that. But then we continue reading above now. As for the wood carver, he has stretched out the measuring line. He traces it out with red chalk. He works it up with a wood scraper and with a compass. He keeps tracing it out. Gradually, he makes it like the representation of a man or the beauty of mankind to sit stationary in a man's house. The folly of idolatry is such that a man makes an image of wood, half of which he burns in the fire, and the coals of which he uses to bake bread, while the other half he makes into a detestable thing, not questioning the wisdom of his prostrating himself to this, the dried out wood of a tree. Meaning he throws himself on the ground in worship to this idol god that he's created from the other half of the tree that he burnt to bake his bread. Because he willed it, that's the end of that sort of part which is mentioned. It's part of Isaiah where it talks about that. If you look at these references, Isaiah, the footnote 11 and 12, Isaiah 44, 13, and Isaiah 44, 19 were referred to there. But now we're returning to the where is it? I just about read it again. Okay. But this is all from Scripture. At least a lot of this is directly from Scripture, just paraphrased. Because he willed it, Jehovah brought us forth by the word of truth for us to be a kind of first fruits of his works. Although he saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Remember that? That's the famous Red Sea crossing and everything that we saw the famous movie with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments, I believe it was called, where everybody knows about the Red Sea crossing miracle because they saw that movie, in most cases, or if they were able to see that movie, if they were around and old enough at that time. After that, though, Jehovah destroyed those not showing faith. Numbers 14 and 29. Which is here, There it says, every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census will fall. Those who have grumbled against me. Basically what that says. Which is why we keep testing whether we are in the faith. Sounds like, okay, that's 2 Corinthians. I would have thought that was Peter. Right. Test yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Right. That's one translation. I'm trying to remember what NASB stands for. It's something to do with the Bible Association or something. It's not going to tell us. Okay. What is NASB? Okay. Really? It's not clickable. Further on. The link is not clickable. Close that link. Here we go. So let's search for NASB. NASB Bible. New American Standard Bible. That was the 1995 New American Standard Bible. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And by the way, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 in the Bible. It is nothing great. Here's another scripture. It is nothing great if Satan keeps transforming himself as though into an angel of light. We keep our eyes on what is unseen and not on what is seen. We keep persuading men as we keep ourselves unburdensome to them. But Jehovah allows Satan to keep slapping us that we not be exalted over much. That's references 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, 2 Corinthians 11, 9, and 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. I think the angel of light, I think is 2 Corinthians 11, 9 possibly, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's 4:18. No, it's not. Okay, I think it's 4:18 probably now that I think of it. It's 11, 14. I think. Yeah. It's 11:14 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Or, King James Version, transforms himself into an angel of light. And, of course, in Satan's world, he is an angel of light in his world. That light that Satan casts, which, of course, doesn't even compare to the light that's cast by the true God, whom we know as Jehovah. The only limitation to imagination this sounds like it's going to be a kicker here, is that it must be able to accommodate everything that has been written. Otherwise, it departs from the paths of life and becomes a dead work. This is not a real limitation, but rather a choice that we make to prove or to taste and see that Jehovah is good. So the proof, instead of scientific proof, right, which is always sort of nebulous and it's poorly defined when you don't have any written word that you can rely on, scientific work, all science becomes, as we mentioned earlier, empty-headedness of sorts, right? It's just, there's nothing in the head. You've got nothing in your brain to start with when you do the science, so you end up with not knowing how to judge your results. But when you have the truth in your head already, because you've studied the true statements that are available, the true expression of what the facts are according to what the Bible says, what Jehovah's given us in the Bible as the essential truth, you know, which are the things we must not contravene or we must not ignore, but rather a choice is what we make once we know about the Word of God, right? Then we can prove things or taste those things and see whether they're good. See that Jehovah's good. We can taste and see that Jehovah is good. We're not empty-headed. We're not a little bit of smoke in the air here, I think. Just a tiny bit. Just noticed it. I think that's what that is. I've got to turn the filter on again as soon as I can. But it's really not very smoky right now, but just a tiny bit, and I will suddenly gag, or my throat will feel it. But rather a choice we make. It's a choice we make, right, to limit our own imagination in order to allow for the truth to be there as well. So that limits everything we do, because we're constantly comparing creativity that we, or, you know, things that we generate with our imagination with what we've been taught by Jehovah through his word and all the other things we've learned from Jehovah that were learned while we were in the knowledge of his truth. But taste and see that Jehovah's good is the new scientific approach that we take. We taste and see that Jehovah's good, which is a much more positive way of looking at things. We expect good things, right? We taste and see that he is good. We're expecting good things in science. We're not starting with an empty head saying we don't know if it's good or bad, we don't know what to say or do, or we're not starting like that as we do our science. It changes our science, right? It becomes this new thing. And it becomes real science, actually, or better science by far, right? Children of the light is a different thing from the, you know, scientific method that's used without any truth attached to it. It's a different thing. So, I mean, we could read that passage of Isaiah. It's pretty interesting. Nice to read, but we've already basically read it. I just paraphrased it in the paragraph, so we don't need to read the actual scripture content. It's identical, just paraphrased. Identical in essence and in taste. And that's all we have for today in today's study. It was very short. It was the Ark of Urar 2, the Orient Express Part 2, Chapter 12, Paragraph 9. Now, 2 days ago, I was really dehydrated and didn't realize that also magnesium is the best known natural calcium blocker. So if you've overdosed on calcium, you need magnesium, because magnesium blocks calcium from getting into your system and from getting too deeply involved in your metabolism. And calcium by itself will disrupt everything if you've taken calcium to the point of intoxication, which just means a toxic dose. You won't necessarily have any permanent damage from this calcium overdose. It's an overdose of calcium that you can only have happen when you're taking a lot of vitamin D. Also, usually you have to take a lot of vitamin D before you can overdose on calcium. So you're generally, it only happens if you're really taking a lot of vitamin D, much more than the recommended amount. Plus, you're also taking a lot of calcium, which is not necessarily more than the recommended, but the vitamin D will put you into an overdose of calcium if you're taking enough vitamin D. Now, calcium can be in well water, so if you're drinking well water, trying to rectify or fix your dehydration, since calcium overdose causes dehydration, and if you're drinking, it's going to be bad if you try to drink well water, which has calcium, to rectify your dehydration, because more calcium is going to make it worse. If you're overdosed on calcium, it's going to make the dehydration worse, and you're going to drink more water trying to fix that, and it keeps on getting worse. And I've been there, because I have a well with a lot of calcium in the water, and I wasn't filtering it at that time, or I wasn't distilling it like I am now. But, I mean, now what you also need is you need to drink water, pure water, if you're overdosed on calcium, without any calcium, and maybe even, as I do, distilled, which has no other things in it other than water. It's distilled, no dissolved solids. I'm not even going to be able to discuss hydrogen water, which is a different thing that I'm not sure how that helps in the case of calcium overdose, but it's a different thing, so we won't talk about that. But calcium water, at least not today, we won't. I'm researching that. Or I'm experimenting with hydrogen water too, because there are raves, in the reviews about that. And it really seems to help. You really seem to feel better when you drink hydrogen water. So if you're drinking pure water, you can take your pure distilled water, put it in your hydrogen bottle, and drink the hydrogen water from that. That's something I haven't tried with the overdose of calcium, but I know that drinking water helps. Drinking significant amounts of water helps. But the other thing that does help a lot is this magnesium. Take magnesium. If you don't believe in supplements, try and get it through the foods that you eat. Find out which foods have a lot of magnesium and consume those foods if you're trying to get it through food. But if you take magnesium supplements, you just can take the magnesium citrate or magnesium oxide or magnesium chelate or magnesium L-threonate or magnesium bisglycinate. For example, those are some examples of different forms of magnesium that can be consumed as supplements. Some are more absorbable than others, but the citrate is a good standard. Magnesium citrate. Oxide is not as absorbable. Magnesium oxide is a good overnight magnesium, but magnesium citrate is a standard, highly absorbable magnesium compared to some other forms like oxide, but it's not the best necessarily. And it's fairly inexpensive, very inexpensive actually. You can sometimes, speaking for myself, I was able to get, I think, free as a bonus from one of the places from which I buy food supplements. When I bought other supplements, I think I got some free magnesium citrate. I believe I did, yeah. I think I remember that for sure. But magnesium citrate is fairly inexpensive, so that's why I think it's so popular. And it's very effective. It's just not necessarily the best. Which doesn't say anything negative about it. But the other thing, it's so good that I take a lot of it. it's my main magnesium, and then I supplement that with other forms of magnesium. The L-threonate form of magnesium, that's the one that improves cognitive function or mental acuity or whatever the proper description is. It's, I think, technically called cognitive function, that magnesium L-threonate has a hand in improving. It's actually a remarkable thing, but it's also an expensive form of magnesium. It's $50 a bottle or something. It's, you know, for a small bottle of, you know, 140 milligrams per capsule, which is not a lot either. I mean, I've got some that are 200, 150, 125 milligram, all those different. But 140 is not, it's one of the smallest, 140 milligrams, one of the smallest amounts of magnesium per capsule that I have is the L-threonate. But L-threonate, like I said, it improves cognitive function, so you got to consider it as an option, even if it is expensive. I think it's worth it if you get your brain functioning better. Well, what can you do to say, what can you say about that's negative? It's not much negative about that. You just have to, you know, have to save your money and spend it wisely, I suppose, if you're going to be able to buy that stuff. And maybe someday it'll become cheaper. I'm hoping it will, right? A lot of these things, they're expensive because of demand or because of being expensive to manufacture, right? Those are the two reasons. Or scarcity, right? In terms of some ingredients that might be necessary in the manufacture of those things. So that's the magnesium as a calcium blocker. Let's look it up. It's a natural calcium blocker. Let's look at that, because this is the thing that I found it in a search 2 days ago, or yesterday, I guess. What was it? Let's see, let me think. It might have been, well, a day or two ago I found it, let's say. I searched for natural antidote for calcium toxicity. That was the search I did in Google. And then I found this subheading here. What is a natural calcium blocker? What is a natural calcium blocker? I clicked on it. Magnesium is, it says, nature's physiologic calcium blocker. American Heart J, which is, I guess, the Journal of American Heart Health or something. Let's find out. It's PubMed, this article. I haven't read it yet. I have not read this, so I don't know what it says. But I know that it's in a scientific paper. It's the American Heart J Journal, I guess it is. American Heart Journal, 1984. I'm not sure what is AmHeart J. Let's try and see if we can find what AmHeart J is. Let's duplicate our tab. Let's find out what AmHeart J is. That's the most important thing. What's our source? What is AmHeart J Journal? Because it's obviously a journal name. American Heart Journal. There we go. So it's a valid scientific journal, evidently. It's a very, sounds like a good one. They're using it as a calcium blocker for the heart, right? Because calcium makes the heart beat. So that's why they're talking about. No abstract is available for that. See that? There's no abstract available. So unless you can get the article, there is not any article shown. And some articles, they do have, in fact, most of them do have an abstract that you can read, even if you can't get the article immediately or easily. But there are many other articles cited here, too. Look, to do with magnesium in the functioning of the heart and the cardiovascular system, for example, there, in that one article. what is the role of magnesium in myocardial infarction? I'm brave enough to look at that and without worrying about it, because I know magnesium is one of the safest things you can take, and I found out the overdose. The overdose for calcium is 5,000 milligrams. And I take about, at the maximum, I think I added it up to something like 1,500 maximum milligrams that I take in one day of magnesium normally. Like, in fact, that's not my normal. It's less than that. It's more like about 1,000, I think, milligrams normally that I take of magnesium. And that's what I would take normally, but I'm different from most people. They wouldn't take that much, I think, but that's just the way my body is. And that means possibly that I am... I don't know what it means, but if I'm taking a lot of calcium, then I need half as much magnesium as I take, as I'm taking of calcium, about half as much in milligrams. That's normally what you would take, just to prevent constipation, because calcium constipates, because calcium causes all the nerves to fire, and that tenses up all the muscles, and therefore you become constipated. Magnesium is a muscle relaxant. Suppression of ventricular arrhythmias by magnesium. There's an article. Shows that magnesium suppresses ventricular arrhythmias. That refers to the ventricles of the heart. And the arrhythmias are bad, or they're generally thought to be bad. And they're suppressed by magnesium, according to that article title. Magnesium, here's another article. It's proven and potential clinical significance. So there it is. Look at magnesium deficiency and cardiac arrhythmias, another title. So it shows that arrhythmias of the heart can be caused by magnesium deficiency. And magnesium is such a safe supplement that I can't imagine why you wouldn't take it. Regardless of your heart condition, I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to take it. And here we've just seen that it's nature's, according to this publication, somewhere in the publication. Well, that's the title of it. Magnesium, Nature's Physiologic Calcium Blocker. It blocks calcium. So that prevents the heart from beating too fast when you're overdosed on calcium, right? It prevents the channels of that normally let calcium into the cell from allowing it in, right? It's a blocker. And that affects the rate of the heartbeat, but it also affects all the cells around the body, you'd think, too, because calcium enters all the cells through the calcium channels in those cells. It took me a long time to understand what this is, but anyway, that's it. I studied this not recently, but it wasn't to do with anything to do with overdose originally, but that's it for today's study. It is January 20th, 2025, of the Common Era, and the time is 21:06 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you so much for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Sissy and this is Star saying bye for now. Today we studied Chapter 12, Paragraph 9 of Part 2 of the Arc of Urartu, the Orient Express. And that's it for today. Children of the Light.